Amen. So here we are. Another last Sunday of a year. 2024 is just about in the rearview mirror. And there's always cleanup to do, right? There's always one more thing to put in place. And by His grace, we can. We do. Filled with grace, filled with power, and filled with glory. Filled with the Holy Ghost. He's able to do abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. You know? This is our desire. Lord, we want to honor You, right? That can't let up. You know, that just can't. The Lord is, you know, talk to us about keep coming back to His love, His joy, His peace, and His hope. Always revert to that. We've got that. Always look to that. Never give up. Never give up. You know? Peter had said, he said, those that have gone astray, it must be because they've forgotten their sins were forgiven. Never forget your sins were forgiven.
Amen. Amen.
Never forget that they were forgiven.
That's right. Thank you,
never, never cease to be grateful that your sins are forgiven, you know. My sins are gone. They're gone. They're gone. What are they good for now? Now they're part of your story. Now they're part of His glory. Now they're only useful. They're not useful to moan and groan over and, oh, I'm just so sorry I ever did that. They are for your story. And there's always somebody somewhere that needs part of your story. You don't have to tell them your whole story. But you got something that fits. If God brings someone near your life, you've got something that fits. You've got the thing. And so we've got the power in the name of Jesus, right? We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be discouraged, because we got the power in the name of the Lord. Don't forget what you've got. Don't forget what you've got. Don't let the enemy remind you of what you don't got. You remind him of what you do have. You know? And so, you know, when you think about it, that's about the only way that we could drift if we forgot we were forgiven. If we forget that we're forgiven, we forget to be grateful. You know? Forever grateful. I'm forever grateful to You. You know, we can always return to the love that's higher than we are. Practicing our joy in the Lord. God will get it done. Listen, He'll tell you, I've got this. No matter what it is, He's got it. He can handle it. Cast your cares upon God. He cares for you. All simple, simple truths that we all know so well. Still, we sometimes get messy. We get messy. We don't want to get messy. It's not like we wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll be messy today. But there's generally the Lord there to greet us in the morning. And then there's always something that comes and tries to get us messy. Turn our attitude. Take away our gratitude. When our attitude turns and our gratitude wanes, we're in a great place for a mess. We know from looking, you know, I said in the devotional, I said, as my Bible plan races toward the end of Revelation, the end of the year is going to end with Revelation. And in Revelation, the Lord tells us how much He loves us. And He gives us a glimpse that, I'll be honest with you, I never can quite comprehend, of what's going on in heaven. And a glimpse of what will go on. And the last days, where are they? You know, I mean, the harvest, the grapes, they squeeze the grapes, the blood flows as high as the horse's reins. How did we get from grapes to blood? God can do that, you know. But I mean, there's just a lot of stuff, and I'll be honest with you, I don't ponder the end a lot. I do consider that I want to be ready for my end. That will happen. That will come. And so I want the Lord to keep me from being messy. I want to make sure that I recognize messy and that I clean up the messes quickly. And, you know, that may or may not include my office area. I'm a little disgusted, but I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to clean it. You know, Vicki says that she'll help me. And I know how that'll work. It'll be like how James cleaned John's barn. You know, all you can do is watch the stuff go. And I wonder how it got messy, because I cleaned a lot of stuff out of it, and now I've cluttered it. And, you know, but that's not the important thing. It's not going to have anything to do with my salvation. It could have something to do with my children's thoughts of me when they have to clean out the house. But at the same time, it could be a source of great joy for my wife if I go first and she's just throwing stuff out. Woohoo! 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 You know, I can understand that. I can't. Isn't that just a great vision for you, sweetheart? Look, she's just smiling. I love that. I love to make my wife happy. She's going to sleep better every night. She's just going to dream about that. Not me dying. She's not in a hurry for that, but boy, some things might be worth it, huh? You know, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. What joy, what opportunities, you know, we have. And the thing about messy is, okay, if you get dizzy, you don't just go on dizzy, do you? You notice when you're dizzy. Right? You know, maybe sometime you get up too fast, and with the dizziness, even there's some nausea, and it's like, whoa, what's going on here? You pay attention to that and you wait for the dizzy to straighten up. Well, if we desire to not be messy, if we really want to not ignore messy, you know, we'll notice messy. Now we're talking about spiritual. You know, I know, everybody knows when their attitude peaks and begins to come down. You know? And we often, maybe, you know, as long as we've got a picture of a springboard and a diving board, you know, that we sometimes hit that board. Once or twice. Then we spring into action. We sometimes gain velocity on our messy. You know? We get an arch on it. There's a place at the top of our messy. There's a place to just pause. And just drop into the water of the Spirit. There's a place. To just abandon the dive, so to speak. When I was a kid, I dove on the swimming pool diving team, you know, and sometimes you hit the board wrong, and sometimes you go up wrong, and it's better to just abandon the dive. I hit the board once wrong doing a gainer. A gainer is when you hit the board and you do a backflip and go down into the water. I hit the board wrong. I could have abandoned the dive, but I went ahead and I don't know that there's time to think that much, but I wanted to complete the dive, so I went ahead, I went up, I came right back down on the board. Yeah, owie. I then abandoned the dive and just crumbled into the water. Yeah. I suppose if I'd have had time to think, I'd have been thankful that it was my foot, not my head. I don't know. But I abandoned the dive. And you know, spiritually speaking, we can avoid a lot of damage by abandoning in the middle of the mess. You know? We can hold our tongues. You know, I said to the Lord this morning, I don't necessarily want to bite it, because if I bit it, it would hurt. So I want to hold it. You know, because there's probably some messes where if I bit it to the extent that it should, I'd have a shorter tongue. You know, I should just chomp down on it and make it hurt, and I won't do it again. To hold it, you know, it's like, think before you say that, Roger. I know. We know, but sometimes we just make a mess. You know, it's like sometimes you're carrying something and it's starting to spill and you can't get it to stop spilling, you throw it down, depending on where you are. You know, you let it go. It ain't going to do any good. I'm not accomplishing anything. I may as well put all the mess in one place. And sometimes we're messy. And we don't want to be messy. You see, dear children, John said, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Just keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. You know, avoid it. Recognize it. Have discernment. Recognize, well, this is displacing God from my heart. You know? God's not going to leave me, but I'm going to crowd him. I don't want it to find a place to sit. You know, I mean, sometimes if you watch like kids in the bleachers or something, and somebody comes in and they're wanting to get into a spot, and you can tell whether the kids want that person to have a spot or they don't want that person to have a spot. You know? Or if it's somebody that they want, they just scooch over and they got the big smiles and bring them in. And if they don't want that person sitting in any spot, they say, no room. They spread out, put the coat down in a space, you know? And it's like, and if you watch, the person that receives that response, you can tell. You can tell how they feel. You know? have to be careful that we don't harm people by not letting them close to us. But we need to be determined to not give the enemy any space. Everybody probably can think of somebody that they don't want them to come and sit by them. They're not begrudging you that, okay? I mean, there's just some people you'd rather not sit by. Some people you do everything you can to avoid a conversation with. You know, it can happen. It can happen. But the one that we want to make sure that we don't allow to have a conversation with us is the enemy. Stay away from anything that might take God's place in our hearts. And I guess that maybe then those two things can kind of go together. And if we allow rejection of someone else, if we rationalize, if we justify, and we're making a mess is what we're doing. We're making a mess because it might just be that that person that we would just as soon not have a conversation with as somebody that God has that we should absolutely have a conversation with. You know? So there we go. Cleaning up messes. My goal, you know, my resolution, my hope, my prayer, my plan is to have a messless 2025. Yeah, that's right. Laugh at that, right? Okay, well, it's a goal, you know, and it's one that I shouldn't give up on easily. You know, it's not like a diet plan. They come and they go, you know. It's not like getting up at 4 o'clock every morning and praying for 3 hours. You know, that ain't going to last for the whole year. You know, that I'm not going to have happen. But I can be on the lookout for messes. Not your messes, my messes. See, we got this gift of discernment. We can see other people's messes. You know, it's a gift. it's just a gift. I just know these things. You know, I just know these things. We can know these things. And when we're knowing these things, we're knowing we're making a mess. We know that's not how we ought to be. We know what people we ought to be. We know what people we can be. We know how we feel the best. We feel the best when we're not making a mess. We feel giant victories when we avoid a mess. We can praise the Lord when the mess just can't even get past, you know, just get boing. Rejected, the fiery dart of the enemy. You understand, that's where we get the peace. That's where we get the joy. Recognizing someone else's mess and having in our mind how to give them a little instruction doesn't make us feel good. It doesn't feel good when the thoughts are coming. It really doesn't. It doesn't. But it's like pouring your milk in your cereal and the bowl's full and it's running over and now the Cheerios are floating out too. And you know what's happening. Well, if you were pouring your milk in your Cheerios or whatever you prefer to eat and it started to overflow, you'd quit, right? And you clean up the mess, right? You know? And so it is when we're in the middle of our great discernment judgment of someone else. It's close to the top of the bowl, you know? I mean, it's like you're getting close. Just a little bit more. No. Oh. you quit. And you go, oh, praise the Lord, I didn't overflow it today, honey, you know? And so it is that we have the Spirit of God in us to remind us. The Spirit of God in us reminds us that everyone needs compassion. The kindness of a Savior. Let mercy fall on me. How about let mercy pour out of me? I mean, it's better than, you know, those claws that they sell at the fair that'll soak up everything. Dump a bottle of Coke on the counter and it'll just soak it up. They don't work. Not the ones that I've ever bought. You know, they don't work, but God's mercy does. God's peace does. God's joy does. He's it, you know, and we have things that concern us, and we can say to the Lord, I know you'll take care of it. You know? And we're perfectly willing if he's got a plan for taking care of it, other than us just saying, I cast it on you, Lord, we're open to receiving from him. How can I keep this from being a mess, Lord? What can I do? Well, recognize the mess and stay away from anything that might displace God in your heart. Revelation 3:19 warns us to turn from our indifference. It does matter. We can't be indifferent about these things that matter to God. We can't have one way that we treat one and another way that we treat another. That sounds messy, I realize. You know? But God treats us all the same. Not great. We're going to have... Everybody's got favorites, you know, ones that you're more willing to show favor to, and others that maybe it's more of a toleration than it is a favor, but they're worthy to be tolerated too. You understand what I'm saying? Because if we're determined to do that, it's going to keep us from messes. To him who knows what is right and doesn't do it, that's sin. Don't forget that your sins were forgiven. Turn away from indifference and stay away from anything that might displace God in our hearts. In 2 Peter, 2nd verse of chapter 1, grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus. Verse 3, well, we have received everything we need for living a godly life. And that's where Paul says, if we failed to develop our faith, we must have forgotten that we were cleansed from our sins. You know, some I know, I mean, it's obvious that sometimes some people have believe that they're a Christian because they have gone to a church. You know? But it's also obvious that they aren't really doing anything to develop their faith. And if we're not developing our faith, then we aren't very grateful for being forgiven for our sins. And sometimes people don't really see that they've been forgiven for their sins because they're indifferent to their own sins. You see, somebody else is worse than you are. And since somebody else is worse than you are, and they're okay, then you must be okay too. Not necessarily. That's where things get messy. That's where we mess up our own faith. But God, by the Holy Spirit, is like a ever-clean cleaning rag. Always, always there. Always there with a rag. You know? I carry two knives. One that's a little box cutter. That's handy. And another one with a little bitty blade, not very sharp, pretty useless for most things, but really pretty handy, and I've always got them, and they're handy, and I'm always willing to share them and let somebody else see the great benefit of them. You know, I mean, it's a lot easier than having to go find your own or whatever the case might be. I started carrying them just because I carried them. One was my dad's. Both were my dad's, I guess. Anyway, but I have them. They're handy. And when they aren't in my pocket, I go looking. What did I do? You know, where did I last empty my pockets? Or did I wear cargo pants and they're in a different pocket? But, if they aren't there, I go looking for them because I know that I always have them. So I can avoid messes if I remember God. If I recognize, oh, something's displacing my love. Oh, I think I'm becoming indifferent to one thing or another. Have you ever in the midst of just being in the Lord's presence, suddenly become aware that you haven't really been praying for someone? That you sort of let up on your prayers for them? You know? Then you name everybody that you can think of. because something got a little bit messy. We got to clean it up. You know? And I don't mean just clean up for company. I mean that we clean up all by ourselves. That we just have this determination. I called it messy me because that's the mess that I need to work on the most, you know. I don't go to God and say, "Oh God, would you please get Vicky straightened out?" That's not my business. You know, because, well, for one thing, he probably won't say that she's not the problem. He'll say to me, "Excuse me," and I'll understand that he's talking about, you know, because she's not my problem, I'm my problem. You know, I mean sometimes I've been around pastors and they're messy because, man, the people in their church, it's not, the people don't have anything to do with it. It has to do with, I heard so many people, "Oh, the people are so mean." I'm so thankful. I said, "I don't understand that. My people aren't mean to me. If they talk about me, they don't talk about me to my face, and that's okay with me. They can talk about me behind my back. I won't know about it." But I don't think they do. We love one another. You know? We really do. And if it gets messy, we got a mop. We can clean it up. Filled with grace, filled with power, filled with glory. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we have everything that we need to live a godly life. And it's really not beyond possibilities to have a messless 2025. You know? I mean, I'm gonna remember that Not every dive needs three springs. You know, go up and just hit that board once and go up. But before you turn down, be ready to do a good dive. While I'm in the arch of the dive, I need to consider if this is even a dive that I need to make. You know what I mean? You know, I don't have to make a mess. And if I analyzed them, wrote them down, and wrote notes about them, which I will not do, I'm sure that I would find that there was always a place to just stop the mess. Always a place. Always a place to stop that thought. Always a place to stop those. Always, there's a place to do it. I need to stay away from being complacent about, oh, it'll be all right. You know? God don't mind. I do. Because I don't like, okay, just don't go in my office, but I don't like messes. You know? I really don't. I'd like to figure out a way. I've got some of my tools that just aren't messy. They're in a good spot. And most of the time I can find them. You know? But I got a whole bunch of them. I got a bunch of bags from Harbor Freight to put my tools in, to sort my tools. But I didn't write on the bag what was in the bag. And I don't always put the same thing back in the same bag. And so now I got a tote full of bags. And so if I want to find a tool in that bunch of tools, guess what I'm doing? Pull the tote out. Pull out a bag, look in the bag. Oh, it's good to know what's in that bag, but it's not what I'm looking for. Another bag. Same thing. I'm going, I really need to do something about this, but I'm not positive what to do about it. I think I should hang them all on the wall, but what if I hang them all on the wall and then I'm out in my pickup and the wall's not going to do me any good? So I got to have some in my truck. But I don't have to have all of them in there. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing, but it's a mess. And so we've got totes full of possibilities for a mess. And frustration when you can't find what you're looking for. You know? And we don't have to be that way when it comes to spiritual. Because the Holy Spirit is always there with our answer. Would you rather not make a mess or have to clean up a mess? No. It'd be better to just not make the mess, right? It's funny. Vicki will apologize to me before she starts cooking something. I say, why? Well, I'm going to dirty a lot of dishes. I don't care. You don't have to apologize for that. You know, just dirty them. I'm good. I'm a washer now. I'm a washing machine. You know, I'll take on the dishwasher. I can always do dishes faster than the dishwasher. I can. But the dishwasher can do them while I sleep, and I can't do them while I sleep. But you know, we don't like making messes for ourselves. We don't like making messes for other people. We don't want our lives to be messy. But messes just happen in other things in life because we just weren't paying attention. And that's how messes happen to us spiritually too. What was I thinking? I don't know why I said that. But it's been done already. So then we got to fix it. And then if we get right down to it, the Bible tells us that what you said was what was in your heart. Oh, that was, no, that wasn't in my heart. It was the devil. Well, something displaced something in your vocabulary and you said it. And you thought it before you said it. Even if you say, I wasn't thinking, you thought it before you said it. And if you didn't think it before you said it, then we got a problem. There's a mess in there somewhere. We don't have to. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's just be aware, you know. I mean, that's why the Bible just, weird things, just out of nowhere. Boom. There they are. Completely out of context. Don't seem to have anything to do with what Jesus was talking about. But he says them. And you really can't excuse yourself because, well, that's not proper. What he says, he says. And when he says what he says, you know what? Stop. Get your balance. Let the dizziness pass. If there's a mess to clean up, clean it up. But oh, I pray that I will have charge of my messiness. You know? Because it doesn't have to be a train wreck. It can just be a fender bender. Yeah. Doesn't have to have wrecked something, but it leaves a mark. You know? It's like I'm careful when I open my car doors in parking lots because I don't want to hit somebody else's vehicle. You know, because I don't want anybody to hit my vehicle. I've had vehicles before where I wouldn't be able to tell if anybody hit them. But I don't want it because it does leave a mark. It doesn't render the vehicle, you know, inoperable. It doesn't do anything like that. It's just that it leaves a mark, and that's what happens with messes. They leave a mark. And we don't want to be marking things up. Even if we do our best to clean them up, they could still leave a mark. I don't want to leave any marks. 2025. Cleaning Roger is alive. Pre-cleaned and ready. Awake and thinking before I get out of bed. Lord, you know without you I can do nothing. But it may be the best goal I've ever set, Lord. I want to be more like Jesus. Holy God, make me holy. Merciful God, make me merciful too. Loving God, make me loving. Lord, I want to be like you. Amen. Father, thank you for these wonderful, wonderful people in our family, Hosanna, wherever they are that aren't here, all those that have passed through and are elsewhere now, just everyone, Lord, and those that are in missions and the Philippines and in Africa and Canada and all over, Lord, that we've had the privilege to be a part of. We just pray for them. And we pray for one another, Lord. Make us mess-free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.